Hello, it's Vanessa Garrity from Beyond the Room, and I'm here with Suzette Woodward, who gave a keynote presentation this morning at the Improving Patient Safety event, which, if you follow the hashtag on Twitter, it's IMPSAF2019. I'm just going to start by saying that I met Suzette probably about 7 years ago or so now, when I lost a family member from sepsis, and happened to be invited to a House of Commons event that Sepsis UK put on. At the time I wasn't on Twitter, and Suzette was talking there. I didn't get the opportunity to speak to her, but I set up a Twitter account, and obviously I've gone on to do a lot on Twitter since. So I think for me, I'd like to start with a reflection, really, that people who are listening online today and who can't join in, it's an opportunity to be part of the conversation. And I think a lot of what Suzette captured this morning was about the human aspects of patient safety. So I think that reflects really in the online world and the conversations we can have. So we would encourage you, if you're online, to join the conversation today and tomorrow. Now, just over to Suzette. I know you as a sort of national figure really now in patient safety, and it was great listening to your presentation this morning. For people who aren't in the room today and who are listening online, could you just give people a flavour of what you've been talking about this morning?
Yeah, no, brilliant. And just to reiterate what you said, I joined Twitter in 2009. And I have never looked back. I think it creates the most amazing community of people where you can share ideas, and you can grow in terms of the networks that you create, but the knowledge that you get, and I honestly wouldn't be with the knowledge that I have today without being on something like Twitter. And the interactions that we've had. So today I was asked, I was privileged to ask, and given the time to talk about three main things. They're all lessons from the Sign Up to Safety campaign that I led, which I led from around about 2013 for 5 years.
And that's on Twitter, isn't it? Sign Up to Safety.
It finished at the end of March last year. Am I getting my years confused? Actually, end of March this year. And it ran for 5 years. It does have a Twitter handle, but it's now just sort of sitting there dormant, because mainly now that the stuff has been taken on by myself, either on Twitter, which is at Suzette Woodward, which it will be clear, but also via my blog and various other things. But it's kind of been spread out, because Sign Up to Safety was never supposed to be about a central group of people who would just run a campaign. It was all about local ownership and local leadership to really make a difference. And the key focus of Sign Up to Safety was all about what can we do to help the people who work in healthcare work as safely as they can be. There's a lot of campaigns out there that help patients, and there are a lot of campaigns out there for individual aspects of patient safety, like falls or pressure ulcers or sepsis. But there's very little, or there was at the time, very little that talked about how can we actually help the people that care to care more safely and to work safely. So the three things I talked about, to be kind of more succinct, is the first is that we have to create a much more balanced approach to safety. And what I mean by that is the predominant view of looking at safety has been all about failure. So where have we gone wrong? What can we do to put things right? What are the problems? What can we do to put things right? What is it that people are doing to fail? And why can't we just tell them to stop making mistakes? And that predominant approach has been picked up in all sorts of initiatives: instant reporting, instant investigations, root cause analysis, studying problems through even aspects like QI, and so on. And it worried me, and I felt like there was something missing. So what we did is we studied various concepts and theories associated with looking at safety differently, which is actually, if around about 10% of things go wrong, then you must imagine that therefore 90% of things go okay, or they go right, or in fact they go amazingly. So what is it about the 90% that we're not learning from? And so instead of asking why did we fail, what we ask people to do is say, why did we fail in the context of the fact that most of the time we get it right? So therefore you have to study the going right in order to study the failure, and that gives you a completely different lens to look at.
Definitely.
And also it's so incredibly positive. So you start going, oh, I'm not actually so bad. I do this most of the time okay, and this time it failed. But it takes you down a route which says, we're never going to be perfect. There are times when we're going to fail, and maybe what we need to do is obviously learn from this, but accept that that failure is in the context of many times when we get it right.
Yeah.
And it's an important thing to say, because what you might end up by doing is not addressing the failure. Because if you address the failure, then you might be actually tipping over the balance of the multiple times you get it right into potentially failing. So if that makes any sense. So what you might do is say, yes, it failed, and I really want to learn from that, but I want to really learn from how we get it right most of the time, and then strengthen that, replicate that, and keep that going.
Yeah.
And what that does is it starts to move away from purely focusing on an individual and blaming them and saying, what is it about the circumstances, the situations we all face?
Yeah.
And we can really study those, which lent us into looking at, it's a bit of a jargony thing, but it looks at work as we imagine it could be versus work as it is actually done. Yeah. And what's the gap between what we imagine that is versus how it's done? And that takes you into the world of policy making and of creating of interventions and initiatives which say, I imagine this is what your world is like, so I'm going to ask you to do this, rather than I know this is what your world is like, so I'm going to help you do this.
Yeah.
And they're very different bits of language. And that's the whole world that's now described as safety too.
Yeah.
So safety too is about understanding safety from the perspective of when we get it right, but also helping people adjust and adapt what they do to keep getting it right.
Yeah.
And it's really, really lovely and positive. But to do that, we realise that there is a second key message from Sign Up to Safety, which is you have to have the right culture. And what we mean by that is a culture that enables people to speak out, that it's a psychologically safe organisation, and that there is a just culture where people are dealt with proportionately and consistently, and people are cared for when things don't go right, but also encouraged when things do, and that they're given the positive feedback when they do, so that you thank people, you value people, and you are grateful for what they do, and you tell them when they're good, so that then they go, I want to do that again. So their second thing is about trying to move away from a blame culture and a culture of incivility and bullying, and to remind people that it's actually important to value them, be grateful to them, and say thank you, and be much more positive about your feedback. So the final third bit that I talked about this morning and Sign Up to Safety learnt was that all of that then feeds into really caring for the people who care. And that's caring for their health and their well-being, their psychological safety, their emotional needs, and so on. So that's basic stuff like dealing with fatigue, hunger, thirst, having enough time to think, not having too many distractions, being able to pause and reflect. But it's also lovely things like creating joy and creating ability for people to socialise and to come together and connect, so that we move away those barriers and we move away the them and us that is currently very much about a patient safety thing. It's always about them's managers versus us clinicians, or them's regulators versus us doers. And all of that needs to be dispelled, because in fact, every single one of us want the same thing.
Absolutely.
And we have to articulate that as a shared purpose. So the three things I talked about this morning were creating a balanced approach to safety, moving away from the blame culture to one which is a just culture where staff feel supported, and finally really caring for their very basic health and well-being and psychological needs.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, I mean, I'm a mental health nurse by background, so in terms of my own practice, and I've practiced for over 20 years now and seen a lot of changes, but a lot of what you're talking about there really resonates in mental health, particularly around the way in which we used to, you know, blame people if something went wrong, but also the fact that in mental health it's quite difficult to measure things, so we never really talk about how many lives we save in mental health. We talk about the suicides that occur or the problems that go wrong. And I think whilst patient safety is now quite a mainstream concept, only a few years ago we talked about risk, we didn't talk about safety, did we? So I think that's kind of shift in thinking there. And the other thing I'm thinking about is the freedom to speak up guardians, because surely that work links quite nicely into this, doesn't it, in terms of people having somebody that they can go to in organisations to speak anonymously about issues that are concerning them. And I think a lot of what you said there links very nicely to a lot of the podcasts I've done today. And a lot of people are saying the same thing, really, about not just focusing on the individual, but looking at the whole system, looking at ways we can work together, looking at, you know, how we can learn from the good things that we do, as well as when things go wrong. So any final thoughts from yourself to share?
Well, no, I think you were absolutely spot on there. I think the whole freedom to speak up stuff is really, really important. But also, as we know, a crucial part of a just culture is that we try to move away from being judgmental, and we just seek to learn about people.
Yeah.
And the final thing I'd like to say is that, yes, it's important to have in an organisation somebody you could go to speak up with. Mm. But linking that non-judgmental issue with having somebody to talk to. What I mentioned this morning is what I always say to everybody is, when you start out in the career in the NHS, find somebody who will love you no matter what.
Mm, I love that, actually.
And if you make a mistake, and even if you don't make a mistake, you have that person you might call up, whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you ask them for help. You say, I've done something and I need your help, and I don't need you to judge me, I just need you to love me no matter what. Mm. And if they are the right people and you've chosen the right people, they will do that and they will be there for you, because we're all going to need that person in our back pocket. Yeah. And I think if everyone has that person, then at least they'll have someone to speak to at some point that they're going to need. And it's incredibly important. But thank you very much.
Thank you.